Women have been gathering in circles for centuries, even in the most suppressive communities, to find physical and emotional shelter, lift each other, and share the powerful feminine energy. In this podcast, we are going to rediscover what happens when women come together, bringing in their authentic, creative, nurturing selves. In other words, this podcast is dedicated to the magical places, also known as women's circles. Hello, beautiful friends and strangers, and welcome to the third episode of Women Circle Institute podcast. My name is Anna.
And my name is Marta.
Good that you catch that one up. Yes. Anna and Marta are back, giving you yet another insight into how to organize, how to lead, how to facilitate a women's circle. And today we are actually going to be quite practical, although that's not a promise with us. The episode title indicates a very practical, point by point, down to earth advice. However, with us, you never know. So today's episode is for women, especially for women who are about to run their very first circle. And although we talked for more than 2 hours in our first episodes about the circles, and we answered top 10 most burning questions about the women's circles, I have realized, at least this was my realization, that maybe something a little bit more practical and concise, again, that's a hope, not a promise, could be useful for those of you who are about to run the first circle. Because from my personal point of view, this can be something rather intimidating. You might feel nervous. You might feel unsure if you really include everything you are supposed to. Are there some things missing? Did you overlook something? So for those of you who are about to run the first circle, this is a perfect episode. And we will share our either vast, like Marta's, or limited, like mine, knowledge about the topic. Marta, how do you feel about that practical, down-to-earth, point-by-point episode today?
I hope it will be fun.
Yeah, me too. Otherwise, we just should quit. Yeah, we will try to make practical and fun. Yeah, I know. I have those weird thoughts, you know, sometimes about quitting podcasting altogether. But then I yank myself out of it. But Marta, before we will jump into the very practical, down-to-earth, point-by-point version, and I will regret these words, I can feel it, I actually wanted to include something more personal and more from the heart. That kind of fits into this episode because this is something that we both kind of went through in the past couple of weeks, or I would even say months. And that is an answer to a very dreadful question. What if no one shows up to my circle? And I think I had that situation almost. And I think you also had a similar one in Aarhus when it was difficult to gather the amount of participants. And we are here to tell you that that's because you suck and no one likes you. I'm joking. Okay, Marta, why do you think people sometimes don't show up to the circle? And does it mean that you should quit? Straight to the point.
There can be very, very practical reasons. So I believe we experienced that when the sun came out after a very long winter, dark, rainy, windy winter in Denmark. When the sun came out in May, People did not necessarily want to gather anymore in closed up spaces to be in a circle. People wanted to be out. People wanted to be in nature. So there could be like a shift, energetical shift, the weather shifts, and people suddenly want to experience something different. So I believe that was what happened in May. And that's where we have decided to shift from indoors women's circles into outdoors women's circles. I also believe that there is another very, very big reason why people might not be showing up in the circles. And the reason is that the energy in the circle is powerful. And that means that a big healing might happen. That means that something big might show up for you. And we as humans, in our human minds, even unconsciously, we might be avoiding confrontation with something big. And we might unconsciously find excuses why not to go to the circle, because we are unconsciously afraid of that which may happen if we do show up. And that is definitely possible. I have seen that happening for myself as well. When something big might happen for me in any form of gathering, my mind start looking for excuses. Why shouldn't I go? I am too tired. I have too much to do. And people with a level of consciousness will be able to discern what is the truth for them. Is it really that it's not the right time for me to go? Or is it that I am avoiding something? Is it that I am avoiding meeting a part of myself that has been difficult to be met? Because that's actually what happens for us in the circle. Parts of ourselves, which we usually may be avoiding or not having access to, there is a safe space for them to come out. So if you're not dedicated to your conscious journey, to your conscious healing journey, you might be avoiding that. You might simply not be ready for it. It's not only avoiding. That's why I'm saying that it's very important to discern whether you're actually avoiding or whether you are serving yourself by giving yourself space and getting ready for something. But yeah, there can be practical reasons why people don't show up in the circle. And there can be energetical reasons why people don't show up in the circle. And I also believe that every time, if you don't have a stable amount of people in the circle, but people shift every time, that is also a natural energy adjustment. So some people might not be coming because someone else is coming, or that energetical adjustment. It is important who sits in the circle. That's why a number of participants who are stable, it does have an advantage, because you know who you're meeting, and the energy can easier adjust. If it is a different group of people every time, there can be this kind of energetical fallouts where suddenly people quit in the last moment, or there is this level of tension. And last but not least, definitely there could be also something around the host, the facilitator of the circle. There may be something with the facilitator's energy that is blocking the flow of energy and attracting people to want to come. And yeah, that would be, from my perspective, the main reasons why people might not be showing up in the circle.
So actually, one of the answers is that it might be something wrong with the facilitator.
I wouldn't call it there may be something wrong. I would call it that there might be something big coming up for the facilitator to heal. Absolutely. So, for example, if a facilitator has put a lot of weight on the success of the circle and the ego started to go into, you know, I want a certain number of people to show up. And then the ego starts putting a lot of energy into it. And a week before the circle, there is not enough people. Then, you know, then the facilitator, I mean, everyone, even the best facilitator in the world, it's still human. And we all have these parts of ourselves that need healing, no matter how experienced, no matter how conscious, no matter how and what you are, you still have parts that come forward for your healing. So let's imagine that one thing that could come up for a facilitator is that fear of failure or fear of success. That would be a very common thing that a facilitator may need to work with. Another one could be the fear of rejection. So that could be where you are really afraid, or a part of you that needs healing. It puts a lot of energetical weight into if people don't come, that is some sort of an evidence that, you know, that you are not good enough. I would say that would be another thing, but it could also be that, and I think that it's very frequently that, that the facilitator may not have been taking good energetical care of themselves, and they are extending a lot of their energy and are not recharging their energy, and they are giving away more than they are receiving. So this kind of energetical dissonance will be putting off because the facilitator actually does not have the space to hold the circle. So from my perspective, and again, right, I am very much into consciousness and I am very much into energy. I am very much into those aspects. And I am learning about how to be more and more aware of it and learning what parts of myself are coming up for healing. There are also circles that are not going so energetically deeply necessarily. Yeah, it's very much related to the consciousness of the facilitator and the consciousness of the group, because each group has its own consciousness. So yeah, could potentially also be that someone that is coming to the circle every time has something off with the energy. That could also be a reason why others are being put off. So it's a delicate matter. It's a delicate matter and important to take care of. That's why I hope in the future circles, we will take the energy of the group much more deep and talk a bit more on how to work with it, or perhaps direct our listeners to the Weaving Web of Consciousness podcast, if that's where we will go deeper into consciousness of individual and groups. So yeah,
that sorry. Was a little shameless plot to promote our other podcast.
A little.
But very good plug, I would say. I like to blame the weather. So that's how simple I am. But those were really great points, Marta. Actually, all of them were super great. Super great. My God, what a rich English is coming out from me today. And it was the answer was more than I expected, actually.
Me too, because I have not prepared that at all. It was coming to me as I was speaking. So completely unprepared and very, very authentic answer from my side.
That's what we want here. But I was thinking that if you heard this answer and it opened all kind of variety of possibilities for you, and you are in a situation when no one shows up, or very few women shows up to your circle, then drop us a message. Describe your situation. We will actually try to figure out, investigate what could be the reason. But as I said, my number one suspect is actually the season of the year. because I actually noticed that with my circle. So my circle is very young. It's like a toddler, right? We had three gatherings. And the first two, we had eight participants, including the facilitators, which was me and Marta. And then the May circle came and suddenly no one was signing up. On the advantages side, for me personally as a facilitator, I know the women more or less that are attending the circle, so I could reach out and ask, although I didn't have to, because they actually were telling me, I have an arrangement on this day, I'm traveling, I do something with kids that was planned already. So it became quite clear to me that when the weather is getting warmer, people tend to have way more plans than in winter, because, you know, you just sun, warmed, and there is a lot of barbecues and birthday parties and just parties, you know. So I realized that that was that kind of period where women just simply had other plans and they couldn't show up. And I was about to cancel my circle. I actually canceled my circle in my own head, because it was only me and another person that signed up. And that other person is kind of like my co-helper. So I was like, well, we can just grab a coffee instead. You know, it's like it's not a circle. But I don't know if you remember, on the previous episode, I mentioned that my minimum amount of participants is 3. And I knew already a week before the circle's date that, you know, only one person is going to show up. So I canceled in my own head, because I didn't have to cancel with the person as I was talking with her. And the circle was scheduled for Sunday. And suddenly on Friday, 2 days before, we are in a brewery, because I live in a village that actually has a brewery. What a blessing. And there were a lot of people with kids. We actually go from kindergarten to brewery. And now when I say it out loud, I know how it sounds, but it's kind of like a tradition. Everyone has just a small beer. There is a huge playground and garden for kids. And there was a family that moved in here recently, and a woman is from UK. Her name is Emma. I talked with her once last year, and we were supposed to have a coffee, but it never happened. And I always thought that maybe she would like to join the circle, but I never had a chance to talk to her. And then my co-facilitator / co-helper, who had those 2 beers, suddenly jumps out. Anna, Emma wants to join the circle on Sunday. And I'm like, yay. And I'm thinking, okay, I didn't prepare the circle because I thought it's going to be canceled. And what kind of, you know, what kind of triangle is that? Like, what's going on? But I, of course, said I will send her all the info. And on Saturday morning, as I promised, I sent her the info, and I was trying to convince her not to come, because I kind of started to feel anxious, like, okay, only 3 people. I don't know how this works. I don't know this person. You know, for some people, it's easier to start in a bigger group, because then they are not so, you know, then the attention kind of gets diminished and goes to every participant. So I was like, so I was trying to like, yeah, Emma, you know, that's great that you would like to join, but maybe the next circle would be better for you because it's only 3 of us. And she was like, no, I want to join. And I'm like, holy mother of circles, what am I supposed to do now? And I decided to do it. Also because the theme for the circle was a Gemini goddess energy, and Gemini is the sign that is the most curious of all the zodiac. And I was like, if I'm supposed to make a circle with a theme of curiosity and exploration, and I have this opportunity to approach this circle with curiosity and actually to see how is it to lead it for only 3 people, what will be the difference, how to kind of figure it out, then I'm really not embodying the energy of the circle. So I was like, yeah, Yeah, let's do the triangle, aka circle. And we met and we met and we had a circle. And it was actually fantastic. I was very, very surprised. Emma really liked it. And now I realized maybe I shouldn't give her real name, but it's too late for that. I hope she won't mind. No one will know who she is. But all the participants liked it. And I actually was doing for the first time things on my own, the invocation, which we will talk about in a moment, and breathing exercises. So maybe it was a good thing to jump into doing the circle solo, only with two other people. So I am very happy to announce that I have led a three persons circle, which was a triangle. And it worked. The energy is very different. It's actually more intimate, but it wouldn't be a good start for everyone because Emma was there for the first time. If she was more shy or reserved, it could be a little bit overwhelming for her because, you know, there is only three of us. So somehow you probably feel more inclined to participate. But all went well, and she said she's gonna come back. So I'm very happy to actually, you know, I'm happy that I did it because I was having these blockages in my head. I should cancel. I should, you know, I shouldn't do it, and I did it. And here I am, the triangle facilitator. So that's my authentic story. With all the vulnerabilities and also names of people I did not agree to reveal. But I really think it. Marta, do you think we should beep Emma's name?
I think that you should just simply ask her before releasing the podcast if she's okay with it. Yeah.
And that's why you are my co-host and my best friend. Thank you very much. This is actually a very good point, you know.
Yeah. Just ask her before and otherwise we can beep it out.
Yeah, then it will be beep, beep, beep. Well, that's also something, a sound effect. We can work on that. So, Marta, are we ready to give a down-to-earth, practical advice on how to run the first circle?
I would just like to add to that part of when people are not showing up or very few people are showing up, there really can be a very, very good reason for it. And I have also held some circles with few participants, and I can really feel the difference when I have a clear intuition about it, that that's precisely the right amount of people. And I can feel that, it feels right. It feels right to do it anyway. And I can also feel the times when very few people signed up, and I actually felt a relief that I could cancel the circle. And that has been the clear point for me to look at my own energy. Okay, so I haven't actually had the space in my energy field to actually hold the circle. So just wanted to add that if you are in a situation where very, very little people have signed up, just look into it. How are you actually feeling? You know, give yourself space and time to really, really feel into yourself. So it's not coming from your ego, but that it can come from your higher consciousness. What is the right thing for you to do this time? And if you are very dedicated to showing up, and for example, you are in a situation where you're not actually paying for a space, you can really, really show up anyway and do it with yourself. Why are you laughing, Anna? I want to know.
So thank God for the mute button, because when you said when very little people sign up, I imagined hobbits signing up or like very little people and like what to do in that situation. Well, we are inclusive. Very little people can sign up. Very big tall people can say, not
Okay.
all the people
Okay, very
that
few
identify
people.
as well. I don't, yeah, but it sounded like I suddenly had this image of like very little people signing up, and what to do about that situation? Well, don't put them at the table. That's a circle on the floor.
Okay.
That's 100%. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you think we are sounding as insensitive people, or should we do the same disclaimer like we do on a Weaving Web of Consciousness, that everything comes from the good place? You know, sometimes we might have a weird, funny joke or something that sounds off, but the intention is never negative. It's never to make fun of anything, but it was just there. It was served to me on a silver plate. And yeah, my imagination, I couldn't control it. I just saw very little people signing up for the circle.
I really appreciate it. And I do appreciate the humor. I really, really do. So for me, yes, you issued the warning, no harm intended. And I love the humor.
All righty, then let's start with the number one thing. We have the place, we have the team, we have the people. We are about to run our first circle. So we are putting ourselves in the shoes of a person who is about to start. Okay, we have to invite them. How do we invite them? When? Through what communication channels? What do we put in the invitation? Any experience, Marta, with that or with little people?
Yeah, I, of course, you know, like always, I will say use that which most resonate with you, right? So that will be always my answer. So if you like a specific medium of communication, use that medium. That will be the now I am imagining like a woman medium just sending the energetic signals towards humans. I did not mean medium as a profession. I meant
however
medium.
You could hire a medium to send the invitations telepathically. I just know what would happen with RSVPs, because how is she get?
Okay, so if you decide to use hiring a medium to telepathically send the invitation, please come back to us and say how it went.
Yeah. We actually want to know.
Yeah. So, of course, you can use social media. This is the sort of medium that I was going after this time. So this time down to earth was my suggestion. So if you are using social media and you have a good fellowship on social media, you can definitely use social media. If that's not your thing, you can get in contact with your group via email. You can get in contact with your group via WhatsApp messages. So, you know, practically you can send it out in a way that can work for you. However, I have noticed that in this era of a lot of interaction through the social media, I have a sensation that people are really getting tired of all the online and social online interaction. And I have noticed that there may be a time where we need to come back to more individually tailored way of inviting. So I have noticed that the way we started the circles in Aarhus and the way I started the circles in the company, the ones we started in Aarhus, we were personally sending messages to people or talking to people and telling them about the circles. And we really had a lot of people wanting to come through these personal messages. The more the group grew and we were just starting to send the group emails, the least people were signing up. So I am thinking if there is perhaps something special in sending an invitation that is directed personally Because those circles where I have these personal invitations, smaller group of people, defined people, it actually works better now that I am reflecting back on it in terms of people actually showing up. The more impersonal, the least likely people are showing up, unless you are, I guess, you know, unless you are like you're already in a place where you have built your ground and you actually have the opposite situation where you have too many people wanting to come. But just a reflection that for these sort of events, it might be the type of energy where you may need to send the message or speak directly with people to invite them.
Mm-hmm. And on a scale from 1 to 10, how effective medium you think would be?
Medium, the lady, the hired lady, telepathically.
Yeah.
I made a disclaimer before that I am quite a lot into consciousness and energy and mm-hmm. not that kind of... Not that kind of, I would score it rather low in terms of effectiveness.
Yeah, we simply need someone to approach us and tell us, I tried it and this is how it worked. Or maybe we can try it in a future ourselves. Well, we will see. I will add to this that I use email so far. And because email allows you also to write longer explanations, which can backfire, as I've heard from at least two people. It was so long, I didn't really went through it. So I just paid and showed up, which can also be a strategy, like you are tiring people out. But to my credit, those were actually the invitations sent out first with the explanation of what circle is, what is the theme of the year. So it was a little bit more info than normally. So I use an email. I send, this time I will try to use a short and sweet email. This gonna happen, this topic, sign up like this, and so on. I normally send that around 3 weeks before. And this month I failed completely because I just realized I haven't sent out invitation to this circle that is gonna happen in literally 10 days. So I have to do it today. But I also have a kind of a page on our website, womencircleinstitute.com, shameless plug, that is dedicated to my circle, and they have a calendar for the whole year. So they are already familiar with the dates. I think they just need a push to sign up, hopefully, or we will have another triangle. And that's fine with me. And in the email, I usually write, of course, the time and where it's going to happen and what teams we are going to work with on this circle and how to sign up. And in our case, we live in Denmark, so we use this application called Mobile Pay. Women just send a very small amount. It's kind of symbolic to cover the costs of supplies that are used on the circle. And if you send the money to the box, because we have a special box on Mobile Pay, then it is considered that you are signed up. If, of course, there would be a situation when there is a limit of participants reached, then unfortunately you have to put some women on the waiting list. But that's basically what I do. I also created a WhatsApp community, but it doesn't really, it's not very engaging. And I think it's because I don't really do much there. It's more for practical information, but that works actually on a day of a circle when you have to give like the last moment update or a request to participants, like bring a blanket or something. That works. And that's more for that kind of instant communication. But email for me. However, when you were talking, Marta, about all of this, I realized that there is one thing I want to try, although with the prices in this wonderful, expensive kingdom of Denmark, I would probably go bankrupt. One time, I want to send letters/postcards on home addresses like a month before, with the info and just send it to the women And I wonder how this will work, because I'm a type of a person that if I get a letter and I open it and there is like all the sign up information, I will actually sign up immediately if I want to do it. With email, you can be like, okay, I open my email. There is 5 other emails or 10 other emails. I will do it tomorrow, or I will and you will forget. So Marta, you inspired me to actually try to send out invitation for a circle via regular mail. And I will tell you how that went when I will do it. I won't do it in the summer because that's tricky. But I think maybe for autumn, I will try one invite like this. So then we are going into the very big day when the circle actually starts. In the email that I send out, and I believe it's also in the email of Women's Circle Aarhus, there is an information that it is preferable if women show up 15 minutes earlier so they can, you know, just take off their clothes. I mean, the outer clothes, not like all the clothes, but, you know, undress from outer clothes. Maybe use a bathroom, say hello, especially to a women that are there for the first time, so they can have a kind of a exchange of names if they see each other for the first time. So there is kind of a time to settle into the location instead of just, you know, going in, sitting and starting the circle. And that information is usually also provided in the invitation in the email. And by the way, I forgot one thing. So I normally was sending email around 3 weeks before, and then a week before I was sending a reminder that, you know, it's a week. So if you want to join, please sign up. And actually reminder works usually better than the opening email. So that works. Yeah. And then when women are showing up and gathering slowly, you still have a chance to prepare the last things. Although I personally do that before. So I had circles at my place, and Marta, you had circles in a rented place, but I know that you also show up at least half an hour before, so you can set up the candles or the cards or the flowers and the snacks, make sure that everything is ready. So when women are gathering, you greet them and you just go with the very last details. And then at the time when the circle actually starts. So those are very practical things, you know, start preparing half an hour before and then greet your guests. And I believe that every circle that I had so far, which was 3 as a facilitator and probably 6 as a participant, at the very beginning, among the practical information, number one, most important, where is the toilet and is there a break? There is a reminder about the circle principles. And we talked already about the principles in the second episode, and we will make an episode about the principles. But I think especially if you have a new people joining in, it is very important to remind the principles. And at the beginning, the number one principle is, of course, you know, that it's a trust, it's a safe space. So trust is the principle. What happens in the circle stays in the circle. We don't discuss it outside. And that's the number one. And then we, of course, talks about, you know, no unsolicited advice. We are here to listen. We are giving an advice or comfort if we are being asked to. And then you can add additional principles to that. And I think after that, we are going into the part that will lead us to opening the circle, actually energetically opening the circle. And before that, you can do a couple of things, a breathing exercise, a grounding exercise. But I think I will actually ask you, Marta, what do you do usually when you already, you know, greet everyone and talked about the principles?
Yes. Yeah, so I have, for me, opening the sacred space It's very, very important. And I think, Anna, actually, you are a very big part of your skepticism that has been coming, that was there before you joined the circle that we were doing, was the energetical apprehension, if I can call it this way.
Apprehension?
All righty. Energetical apprehension. No, you are aware that when people gather together and where people sit in a ritual way, you really, really need to understand and respect the energy. Otherwise, something that you are not prepared for may happen energetically. And I think mm-hmm. that has been a big part of why you were skeptical. And you have mentioned things like there may be someone even unconsciously coming to use the energy that is mm-hmm. Coming out in a ritual, because it's a ritual mm-hmm. when people yeah. sit together in a circle. It's a powerful ritual. So for all the circles that I have been ever facilitating personally in private circumstances, I do an invocation. An invocation is a prayer where mm-hmm. I invite certain energies and I create a specific energetical field, which I fully trust and believe in. So for me, okay. it's very important. Yeah.
Now I wanted to say, now you sound like you are from Star Trek. So you will explain what it means that you create the field, because I saw already the image of you having some fireball in your hands with your medium who sent the invites. So you will tell us what it means exactly, right?
I don't know how to say it, because we don't have great words for explaining
true.
What is energy field. I guess if you are a person that is interested in coming to a circle and facilitating a circle, you are already at some level aware that we are more than just the physical body. Mm-hmm. And you are aware that every person has an energy field, that everything is energy, that when energy fields interact with each other, something happens. So mm-hmm. I suppose it may be a little bit different for every person. For some people actually see energy in colors. Some people can see energy fields as an aura for a specific person mm-hmm. and for a specific group. Other people may sense it in their awareness that there is a specific field, and they can sense the boundaries of that field. So there can be different ways of perceiving what is an energy field, what is an energy space. I mean that it is the total energy we accumulate together when we sit in the ritual, in the circle. So for me, an invocation is an absolutely vital and very, very important part. An invocation has specific parts to it, and it has an invitation to what sort of energies I am inviting to the circle. So for me, it's very important that I am setting the space where the absolute most important and fundamental energy is love. So this is just to be a little bit more specific, what kind of energy are we talking about? So we're talking about energy of love. We are talking about energy of compassion. So I am invoking, meaning inviting, calling upon, calling in those energies. So it can sound a little bit fluffy, or God knows what it is that she means, but it is exactly the energy of love. It could be calling in the energy of, and here I know two main schools. One is going more in direction of calling the energy of the soul, the spirit, the guides and masters. And the other school is going more into the part referring to nature for directions. This is more of a shamanic school that goes into that direction. So it is, again, it is very, very inherent to your own spiritual training, belief system, however you want to call it. So because I am trained in spirituality and I have a specific invocation that really, really works for me, that's the invocation that I use every time. However, when I am in the space at work, when I am opening the women's circles, which are more specific to what the circle is. It's an empowerment circle. We are working with objectives of specific people. The way I open the space and the way I take care of energy is more on in the language of mindfulness. So this is where it is more about breathing, getting grounded into your own body and being present and breath work. I have been thinking recently to try using my spiritual invocation in the work environment. I have not tried it yet, but recently I asked myself, actually, why not? What is the difference? Why wouldn't I use my spiritual invocation in the work environment? And definitely the reasons were, they were fear-based. The reasons were, oh, what, that they will think I'm crazy. What is it that I'm inviting spirits and, you know, like souls and stuff into this corporate room? It just did not feel fit. I just felt like, I guess, a spiritual imposter kind of thing. I was just like, what the hell? They will think I'm crazy. I'm woo-woo and so on. However, now I am like, actually, why not? Actually, why not? Why don't I try it and then see what is the response? I am doing two circles. I have told everyone it's an exploration and that this is for feedback from them. So now I feel much more clear in, I absolutely want to try it. And I absolutely want to ask for what kind of effect and what kind of feedback would the women have if I did? And how would it actually feel to do it in a corporate room? You know, in a meeting space with all these screens and stuff. Maybe it's just my own ability to, you know, God is everywhere kind of thing. I'm shutting up now. Mic drop. Anna, please pick it up.
Okay, I picked up the mic and I have a couple of observations. Number one, people already know you are woo. There's no point to worry that someone will realize only when you do the invocation. So, number one. Number two, I was just imagining you doing the spiritual invocation on a women's circle at work and like literally the whole building collapses because of the energy of the, you know, of the spirit and stuff, because corporations, they always have that feeling for me like a concrete soulless jungle. Please let me know if this really will change your image, because I doubt, but okay, maybe it will be just even more woo for them, but you are woo already. And I thank you again for such a deep dive into this, because it's actually probably the essential part. And now I could imagine that some women listening to this are like, oh my, I think God, I think that was a very bad curse. So, oh my, I cannot do this, you know, invocations, spirits and stuff. So to bring you back to earth, I did it. And I did it because I had no choice, of course. I knew I have to open the circle. And I refer now to the triangle that happened in May. So Marta actually sent me the texts of invocations. So there were two texts that I could choose from. I felt more familiar with one of them because that's the one that Marta was opening the circles in Aarhus when I was a participant. So I knew it already and I felt more familiar and resonated with that invocation. Before doing the invocation, we were sitting, we were chatting. I was like, okay, let's start the circle. I talked about the principles, and then I used a breathing exercise from Spotify to set up the space for invocation, because you kind of need to do something to shift from the small talk to the actual invocation when you invoke all those energies. So the breathing exercise, I think it was 5 minutes, and I was happy that I used Spotify because I could do that. You know, when you are a facilitator and you are doing the breathing exercise, you're not really doing the breathing exercise because you are probably counting people in. So I found a very cool breathing exercise, and I will actually include a link to it in the show notes of this episode. And then after the breathing exercise ended, I took maybe 5 seconds. Women already had their eyes closed because that's what I invited them to do while the breathing exercise was happening. And I started to read from a piece of, not even a paper, I think I read it from my phone. And the thing is, there was no fireball. I haven't seen any aura. There was no spirits coming down on me or anything like this, but I felt it. When I was saying the words, I was in those words exactly inviting the energy of love and light. And I was also specific, because Marta was specific in writing that, I was also saying what we do not invite to the circle, which are maybe some, or what we want to let go of. It lasts maybe 2 to 3 minutes, you know. Of course, you don't read it like you are on a football game. Ladies and gentlemen, blah, blah, blah. You are doing it in a more slow pace. And I felt it. I felt that energy. I felt that I am inviting it. I felt it. I felt that the women felt it. And afterwards, when I stopped reading it, it was absolutely amazing that the feel in the room shifted from, hello, how are you? Oh, this is your house. So nice. Yeah, do you want coffee? To suddenly, we are actually in a circle. Even if technically speaking, it was a triangle. We are actually in a circle. We feel it. Now it's time to start our exploration, our journey, our 2.5 hours when we will be able to hold that energy for each other. So it works. And I'm not sure, Marta, if your invocations are top secret, half secret, if we can share it or not, but we will at least try to point you out, because I'm sure there are things like this on the internet that are available. So you can actually choose an invocation that suits you. And again, the recommendation is start with either a grounding or a breathing exercise to kind of settle into building bridge to a new energy. I'm sorry, we are not supposed to build bridges anymore, but it was stronger than me. And then after the invocation, you actually can start with the circle. And I won't focus in today's podcast about the content of the circle, but we can just briefly mention what can be done. We already mentioned that in the previous episode, but just to give you an idea, I can briefly tell you what we have done on the last circle, and then maybe Marta can comment. So after the breathing exercise, I usually introduce the circle to the topic of today's circle. And you know that I go with 12 zodiac signs, so I talk about the Gemini energy, and then I talk about the Gemini basics. I talked about Gemini basics. I talk about the goddess that is associated with the Gemini sign. And from there, I go into the topics that we could explore on today's circle. Now, because I have some of the returning participants, I also provide a space for sharing just before that. If someone wants to share something from the past month that happened after the previous circle, and actually we had shared what happened to us, and the new person also shared her expectations, why she joined, and so on. And then we talked about the Gemini energy. And then we had a kind of a personal exploration when I have invited everyone to ask, to kind of explore what they could do with certain elements of that energy. For example, when I talk about this energy, what does it represent? How can I invite more of this energy to my life in the upcoming month? Because, you know, that's basically the vibe of the month. Where can I see my blind spots? For example, if we are talking about a playful social Gemini, then the question is, am I playful? Am I social? Do I want to invite that? What could I do to change that? So it's a part where you reflect on that specific set of topics and you try to do the introspection and, you know, realize if I need more of that, where have I neglected some parts of myself? We also had a break afterwards, and then we had some guided meditation, which was also played from the audiobook. And we also made a small ritual where we created an essential oil blend. I had a recipe for the Gemini essential oil blend, and we used that blend when we were listening to the guided meditation. And afterwards, there was again a bit of a time for sharing. There was no kind of pair exercise, because sometimes when you have more people, you can put them in pairs, so they can also share within a pair, but we were only three of us, so we could share on a spot. And afterwards we closed the circle. There is no invocation needed. I just closed it saying, you know, thank you for being here. We are closing the circle. And post circle activity was just a small talk. People, women gathering their things, taking the notes they made, because there was some journaling, and pretty much, you know, slowly yet surely leaving home. So that was my kind of description of how it happened on my side. And I know that we are almost at the very end of this recording. So Marta, what would you like to add to this?
Since we are approaching the end, I would only like to add that closing circle is very important. And oops, it is a part of ritual. It's very important to me, yet, you know, okay, subjective, yeah, very important to me. And it does not have to be long. And it can be a short closing. And you mentioned that anyway, that you thanked for people coming.
Yes.
What I would like to mention is that it is to me also very important to thank the energies that you have invited at the very beginning. So if you have done an invocation where you, for example, invited guides and spirits, thank you, guides and spirits, for coming forward. So I would just add that part, that whoever you invited, so I say, thank you, Anna, thank you, Marta, thank you, Joanna, you know, whoever is there. But I also say thank you. And if I have been doing the circle in nature, and I have been invoking the spirit of the forest or the sea, I also thank the spirit of the forest, the spirit of the sea. I cannot believe that I'm saying these things out loud and that they will be published. That is my little conscious or spiritual impostor that is, you see, it's still not easy for me to come out as a spiritual person. Coming out of my spiritual closet has already lasted a few years.
I think it's good you mentioned that, because between what people think and spirit of the sea, I am more afraid of spirit of the sea. So, you know, should not care, because spirit of the sea sounds a little bit more dangerous.
Yeah. So you thank whatever you have invited. That mm-hmm. is what I wanted to say, that it's a good practice, like saying thank you to the humans that have appeared, saying thank you to the energies that you have also invited. So that was the only thing that I wanted to add for the end.
And that was a very good point, which I will implement on my next circle. Thank you so much for today, Marta. And I hope that you will be inclined to listen to episode 4 soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.